Blog Talk Radio.
never found a girl that even comes close to what you give me.
Thank you. This evening, tonight, we're gonna have a prayer meeting. Tell me what you pray about. What's the point of your prayers? Are they being answered? I see a familiar number popped up. Let me try to get home right away. Hello?
Hello?
Is that you, Jerome?
Did I press one?
No, you. Well, you spoke. You're on now. So why are you running?
I wanted to get the feel of the show.
Oh, no. You pick up where you left off.
Okay.
You've been here before. You there, Jerome?
I'm here.
This is your prayer meeting. Tell me what you pray about.
Well, I pray for humility.
Humility?
Yeah.
Go on.
That's my prayer right now.
Break that down.
Humility means that I can make it through so that I can continue on to learn and to understand my mission here. I need humility for that.
You need humility for that? Who gave you this mission?
Who gave it to me?
Yeah, who gave you your orders?
My orders were given to me a long, long time ago. I would say maybe 8, 9 years old.
And I asked you who gave them to you.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Internal spirit.
A gas bubble?
No, no. Spirit. Internal spirit.
Had a heartburn or something at 8 years old?
Yeah. If you want to call it that.
You had gastrointestinal problems. Okay, man. I want to play a clip for you, man. You got your crew there? They ready?
No, they're not ready. I'm a loner.
Oh, that's messed up, man. I'm going to play it for you anyway. You should have got them to come here today. You see, wait a second.
I'm a loner.
Okay, man, hold on. Listen to this.
Here's a well-known fact. All you unsafe trash out there have no idea what constitutes a Bible-based marriage. And here's a little-known secret. Neither do Christians. And that's why the Lord has called upon me, America's best Christian, to teach all of you his definition of marriage. Pay close attention because he's rather inventive. In the beginning of time, say, 6,000 years ago, God created one man and one woman. They had two children, both had penises. You might inquisitively ask, Lord, if Adam and Eve only had boys, where did the grandchildren come from? Trust me, you're not going to like his reply. A Bible-based marriage is between one man, one woman, and the son she seduces after he's killed his only brother. A family that slays and lays together, stays together. True story. Abraham, the father of three faiths, two of them total rubbish, married his sister. As if that wasn't sordid enough, slutty sister Sarah invited Abraham to have sex with her maid, someone named Hagar. Such an appallingly butch name. A Bible-based marriage is between one man and his sister. And the help. Goodness me, Lord, the help? Doing the help? I don't even speak to mine. Quick, what's the Lord's favorite way to punish a man who rapes an unmarried virgin? Anyone? Marriage, yes. A Bible-based marriage is between one woman and a rapist. Mazel tov. Remember how God turned Lot's wife into a pillar of kosher salt? So a Bible-based marriage can sometimes be between one man and a kitchen condiment. Bon appetit. So what do you do if you run out of close relatives or servants to marry? Well, the rather crafty Lord has a fabulous tip. Just drive over to the nearest town and murder everyone who either has a penis or has seen one. Then just round up all the virgins who are left. Of course, you don't need to take a big truck if you try this and say, America. A Bible-based marriage is between one man, a gal who's kidnapped and raped right after her brother, father, mother, and slutty sister are slaughtered. Remember, in the Bible, it's not rape if the man says, I do. King David had a fabulous collection of wives and a harem absolutely chock full of athletic concubines, whom the Lord had raped by David's son because the Lord was in a snit over some drama concerning that troublemaking tramp Bathsheba. A Bible-based marriage is between one man, a woman, another woman, yet another woman, a few more women, an adulterer, and a pack of raped whores. In a galling show of one-upmanship, David's son, King Solomon, had 700 wives. And because God loves to round up, 300 concubines, which are really just live-in whores. A Bible-based marriage is between one man and, frankly, enough booty to make a Mormon compound seem quaintly understaffed. So what do you do when you can't afford even one wife, much less a pack of in-house hookers, but you still have your little heart set on having a son? Well, the Lord shrewdly suggests that you inveigle a slave into violating your daughter. Voila! Problem solved. A Bible-based marriage is between one man, daddy's little girl, and the slave daddy hired to rape her. Try getting a Hallmark card for that. The whole concept of marriage apparently bored bachelor Jesus to tears, other than encouraging his buddies to abandon their wives. About all Jesus said on the subject was that once you do it, that's it. No running off to Babylon to get a divorce. So clearly, in the Bible, you can have as many wives as you want, just as long as you have them all at once. So let's recap the Lord's idea of the perfect marriage. It is between one man and his sister and her rapist, kitchen condiment, gal who kidnapped and raped two more women, an adulterer, and a pack of raped whores. 700 wives, 300 concubines, and the help, and a son who has murdered his brother.
Okay, welcome back. Chef Rob Show there. Brother Jerome, did you get that?
I sure did. Sure did.
Well, I'll play it again, so in case you didn't pick up on any of it. What did you think about that, man?
Well, I mean, I think that if we're dealing with history, and we're dealing with truth, we know the difference between what is right and what's wrong. And that's where we have to base our stance. You know, your stance is that you feel that the whole gist of the Bible is like a joke. But we do agree that it has transformed lives.
Give them the Bible.
Now,
you just read
me excerpts from, I'm not sure who the lady was, but
that was Betty Bauer, man. You got to get you some, look up some Betty Bauer in some YouTube video I took.
And it was pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah, it was interesting.
Very interesting, because one thing that we know for sure is that we came from somewhere. Whether or not it was bad or good, we're here.
Are you telling me what you think about the video? I mean, I'm a little confused. Let me open up this brother's line even for a quick minute. Brother Pianca, you there?
Hey, Rob, what's going on?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Rise, Peter, slay and eat.
I get you. You heard that Betty Bauer. What did you think about that?
Oh, I couldn't keep up with her. She's too fast for me.
Oh. Okay. Well, she was going ahead and running down some inconsistencies, in which I'm trying to go ahead and see if Jerome recognizes those inconsistencies. Jerome, did you recognize those inconsistencies she brought up?
I sure did.
And so that's why I was trying to ask you, man, what were you explaining to me?
No, what I was explaining to you, that theoretically we know that we came, and if it is true that we started from Adam and Eve, it is very much logical that there had to be some mixing in there.
How does that explain some of the things, the issues she brought up in that clip? That's what I'm trying to get you to recognize and explain to me.
Well, I mean, there's nothing I can do about something that was how many years ago?
I'm not telling you to do nothing about it. I'm asking you, some of the issues that were in that clip.
Of what transpired to get us here?
The issues that were in that clip.
Right.
Can you play it again? I will.
But I'm just trying to answer your question. What transpired to get us here. That's what I heard from the clips. Are you talking about something specific?
Okay, okay. Well, I'm going to deal with that real quick. Okay, so what transpired to get us here?
A lot of sex. A lot of bumping.
Okay, so we the bumping. So we what does that mean?
That means there was a lot of sexual intercourse.
Okay, you still losing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Jerome.
Do you believe that there is an Adam and Eve, or there was an Adam and Eve?
Not in this sense of what you get from this Bible, but no.
No, but I'm saying, do you believe that there was an Adam and Eve, that we came from two people?
Yeah, I do. Wait. See, because I'm trying to go ahead and make you not. You're not gonna go ahead and get me to admit I believe this story, okay? It's beliefs. I deal with facts, okay? And as far as the two people, yeah, but not from what the accounts that are going on in the Bible. You get what I'm saying?
100%. But all I'm saying to you is that something we're here. If it's from that point that we're here, somebody had to bring those two here. Did they have a plan, or did they not have a plan?
But the problem I have, what I'm having with you, more than anything, why do you accept that plan of bringing us here? And how can you go ahead and say that that makes any sense when there are a lot of inconsistencies? And that's another reason why I played that clip. They're inconsistent.
Are you saying dotting the I's and crossing the T's?
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
That's supposed to mean, are we breaking it down to the inconsistencies are more irrelevant than the consistency that we're here?
I'm still not getting the point of that question. What are you saying, man?
I am
doing some Jedi mind stuff again.
Am I?
Yeah, you are.
Trying to answer your question.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying to do. Now, if I'm not answered in a way that says that, okay, Jerome, be specific.
Okay, Jerome, be specific. Okay, that Adam and Eve thing here, man, I don't believe none of that. None of that stuff from the biblical accounts, man. Okay?
So what do you believe? You believe Adam and Eve came, and what did they do to create or not create, but to populate at that time?
I believe in facts, so I'm going to deal with facts. Okay, but that part there, I wasn't there, you weren't there. But the story just has some just outrageous explanations for things, man. So my whole point is, you know, I played that clip to go ahead and show you the inconsistencies, and you still really hadn't addressed any one of them inconsistencies. And like I told you before, man, who was Cain's wife? You guys want to go ahead and still dance around that question. And when I throw questions out there like that, that's to go ahead and show you this stuff. A lot of this stuff don't make sense.
So who was Cain's wife?
Cain never existed.
He never
existed. You
there? I'm here.
Okay. Cain never existed. That guy's fake, just like all the rest of them characters.
But you
believe the story, so you the one should be telling me who was Cain's wife.
No. So you're saying the whole book is a Harry Potter story.
Exactly. So now you believe the story, so you should be telling me who Cain's wife is.
No, I can't tell you that because I wasn't there.
Why you can't tell me that?
I was not there. How can I tell you?
But you believe the story. It's in that book.
The story, yes. The characters. By name, I do not know. I don't even think the language was the same back then.
Wait a minute. Were they speaking English? Hold on, man. Hold on. You said the characters you don't know. This is that who Cain's wife. Cain finds a wife. That's early on in the story. So what you see, this is another issue I have with you guys. You go ahead and you pick and choose what you want to go ahead and use to support that book. Now what have I chosen? You skipped over parts that's early on in the book, and you don't know what's going on.
Oh, I know what's going on. But I'm just saying to you that where we are as we go through this discussion, we could either use the book to say that it was a brainwashing tool.
You think this response is answering my question, man?
Or we can say that, okay, that book does change lives.
And well, okay, yeah, it changed lives, yeah. But are those changes are for the better? No.
Yes, I would say yes. Now,
no, they're not.
Pardon?
No, they're not.
I would say
it changes lives,
no.
Yeah, I get that. But it's not for the better.
Well, I mean, it depends on the person that's reading it. Now, if I'm going to believe and base my relationship.
So why should I read it? Why should I go ahead and keep reading that? And just like you, maybe I should read Harry Potter. That could change my life, too.
Have you read Harry Potter?
Nah, I ain't got no fascination for that either.
See, so you don't know if it's going to change your life if you haven't read it.
Well, they had a lot of movies out, so, you know, why not watch some movies?
But I'm saying, you said read.
Okay, well, okay. No, play on words, but they had a lot of movies. There wasn't no need to. I had no fascination to read Harry Potter. So
if in a reality sense, you do agree that there were two people in the beginning?
Yes.
So what happened to those two people?
No, I can't say, yeah, because it you know, it could have been some, you know, like some animal species go ahead and change their sex, so you don't know.
Think that might be what happened?
Well, I'm not sure your question, but it just sounds like you're trying to go ahead and get me to say, yes, this book is legitimate. And hell no.
No, I'm asking you because you're saying that the book is a...
It's bullshit.
Well, I didn't want to say that word, but you're saying that the book is a joke.
I'm saying the book is bullshit.
Okay, joke, bull, you know, same thing. But my point to you is that the story that actually happened, do we know or do you know what that story is?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did I hear yeah?
Brother Pianchi, what is that story?
Yeah, we know the story that happened. The universe... The universe was created by Ptah.
Ptah?
And he... Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with that. You said Ptah?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm with you. And... Did Ptah speak a language? Was he... Did he walk among us? Or what... Can I ask you a question?
Huh?
Why did Ptah only send? Why did Ptah only send two people?
He didn't.
He didn't?
Nope. He didn't.
Well,
you never heard of Ptah? Excuse me.
Pardon?
You didn't know that. All creation stories is based off of the story of Ptah, Aten Ra, Aten Amen.
Never heard of.
We can tell.
Still here. Go on,
brother.
After he had came into this, he said, "I am he who came into being in the form of the Kepara. I am he who comes into being and brings into being. When I came into being, existence itself came into being. All existence came into being after I came into existence. Many were the beings that came forth from the commands of my mouth. I made the universe and have created all that therein. I am the creator of the world, and it was I who fashioned it with my hands before there was any beginning. What my heart conceived came to pass, and when I have spoken my word, it came to pass, and it shall endure forever."
So you're saying we're not going anywhere.
Pardon me?
You're saying we're not going anywhere. Well, Ptah says we're not going anywhere.
Ptah said we wasn't going anywhere.
No,
you know,
you said
it
will endure forever. correct?
He said, Hecka is my name. That sounds like hallowed be thy name. No, you're, and I mean, it's nothing, I mean, it's nothing unusual to know that what y'all call Bibles was copied off of somebody else's stuff. People have a right to do that. You know, all human life has had the curiosity of wondering, where in the world am I, who am I, and where did I come from?
So is any of the Bible true?
Is any of the Bible true?
Yeah.
Well, the Tower of Babel ain't true. I mean, where you want to start at? I usually let people ask me, is this true? And I will say yes or no. I mean, it's just too much there that's not. Pardon me?
So some of it is true, then, or might be.
Yeah, some names. There's some names of individuals that exist in historical time. Yes. Of course, the Assyrians existed, as they talk about them in Kings, 2 Kings in particular. Sennacherib existed. Taharqa existed.
So this whole existence, where are we going with it?
Where are we going with it?
I'm saying the existence.
One of these days you're going to die.
Say what?
One of these days you're going to die. It's not where it's going. It's where did it come from? That's the question you want to know.
So what would be the purpose that we're here then?
The purpose that you're here is to make the best of, well, that would have been, if you believed, that would have been told when you was in the womb.
Dad, Jerome?
Yeah, I'm here. So who was it told to?
It would have been told to the priest and your father. Of course, I don't know what ethnicity you are.
Jerome, are you African in America?
You're saying, am I African American?
You are African in America. You what?
I know.
See, if it had been done right, that would have been what in some societies call a hearing.
A hearing?
And yes, that's where the pregnant mother, her brothers, and the grandfather and the officiating priest amongst those participants. It would have been at that time when you would have told him what you was coming here for.
Was that throughout, or that was just like one group of individuals who had that?
I only recognize it was one group. Could have been throughout. It was things with commonplace. There's similarities in cultures.
And that we can consider more spiritual with that, right? Not religious.
Your religions come out of cultures.
Come out of cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Or more like a political thing or something like that. Or just something to show their power and their strength.
No, people deify their cultures. Men make gods.
So this, what was his name again? Topar?
Ptah.
Ptah.
Mm.
Okay, is there just one existence, or does he have homies or brothers or cousins?
Homies.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, when you say there's Topar, Is there
out of that came Geb, Shu, Tefnut. Geb of the earth, Shu of the air, Tefnut of the moisture.
So what are they? Are they spirits or what are they?
They're deities.
They're deities.
Mm-hmm. The oldest creation story, the first creation story man ever recited was assigned to Ptah. Then other groups would come along and do this similar with their own society, which they had a right to do. First resurrected God, first resurrected being was Asar. The first Trinity was Asar, his wife Aset, his sister wife Aset, and the baby Heru.
Are you saying these are...
Those are real individuals.
Kick that fool out.
Jerome?
Oh, I'm still here.
I'm waiting for you.
I'm just trying to get a feel on, we.
Oh, you know, so who taught you about God? How did you come about knowing about a God? Man taught you?
Yeah, well, my mama, the church, television.
Your mama, man taught your mother, your father, and so on and so on. God was created by men.
By who?
Men, M-E-N, men.
So
every ethnic group had their own God. Even in your Bible, it says that.
Well, who's
the God of the Bible wasn't the God of the Bible wasn't for everybody.
You don't get that, huh, Jerome?
I don't get that one.
Well, have you read it? That's what it says.
That's one of the parts I think you skipped, Jerome. I was told to skip it.
No, I didn't skip it.
You didn't skip it?
No. Now,
well, what were you? Was you in a trance when you read it?
Well, but see, so you're saying there is no God?
God, if you make one, yes, there is.
Well, I mean, we all fall under that category, and so I didn't miss it. I agree with you.
Mean, the Greeks, did the Greeks? Greeks had God. Romans had God. The Cushites had gods. The Cushite god is the oldest recorded god in a society. Amun.
But
the,
when you God, how you Topaz, right?
Ptah.
Ptah.
Ptah is the creator of the universe. And there's more than one universe in space, right?
I would say so. Now, when you
present
say the
day.
Universe, you mean Earth and its surrounding spheres.
Earth is just a part of this galaxy, and there's, zillions of galaxies, correct, that forms this universe.
So
the universe, the universe exists in what's known as space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Space is something that you can drive in one direction for a long damn time and don't bump into nothing.
Except for meteors.
Except for what?
Meteors.
Say that, Jerome.
Meteors.
Well, there's rocks up there floating around, yeah. Halley's Comet and the rest of them. remember taking my daughter out, bought some binoculars to watch Halley Comet back the last time when it was visible. 1970-something. But no, Jerome, I mean, like I say, I don't know what your ethnicity is, but let me talk about mine. Our people were brought here, and we was assigned the present God that we have. Christianity had not worked its way into Africa. There was no Stanley and Livingston during the time that African people were starting to be hauled out of the continent. Stanley and Livingston was 1800s, late 1800s, right? No missionaries. Did you ever watch the movie Roots?
Sure did.
You remember Kunta Kinte?
Oh, yeah.
Kunta Kinte was worshiping Allah, wasn't he?
Worshiping Allah?
Yes.
That part I don't remember.
Go back and look at it. Kunta Kinte called upon Allah.
So
you remember Fiddler, don't you?
What you call it?
You remember Fiddler, don't you?
No.
You don't remember Fiddler? Lou Gossett played Fiddler?
Okay, yeah.
Fiddler couldn't understand why Kunta Kinte kept wanting to run away. Fiddler was born in slavery, never knew freedom. Kunta Kinte was captured, and he did know freedom. And his freedom, his God was, his deity was Allah. Fiddler's was who? God, Jesus.
You don't remember that now, Jerome?
Sure do.
Slaves, when Africans were brought here to be conditioned to become slaves, they were following tradition and Mohammedism. But we're not following Christianity.
Well, how did you become a Christian, Jerome?
Hmm?
How did you become a Christian?
How?
Yes.
Same way Fiddler did.
Nothing wrong
make
with that.
Make you think, ain't it, Jerome?
Well, I mean, there was a choice. I mean, I've been through Lutheran. I've been through.
You got a choice now. You stay here and listen much longer, you're gonna think much harder. Or you can leave and rest tonight.
With that, Jerome?
Oh, where's the handle? It was laying under that chair. I put it in that corner.
Wait a minute. I think this mic was messing up real quick. Let me try a track, Brother Pianchi. We'll come right back.
All right.
Survive. What you know about the life being all that gas being off and no food to eat.
Down and down.
What you know about Goodwill clothes? Why your friends dress fly in junior high? What you know about grandma's words when she said, one day, boy, you gon' shine.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
My joy, my
oh.
Economics, man. I keep quiet and I go in and pay attention. But I was thinking that it's a whole lot of these groups out here funding murder and disaster and stuff like that. Even the Ku Klux Klan, they even had their own products. They had their own products at one time. They had some stuff going on at one time. But they just so spread out and they contribute to all, you know, to the Klan and stuff. But just like I see, like with the Jews, they got their own system too. And I think one
thing.
Nothing
wrong.
I ain't saying nothing wrong with it. I'm just playing, trying to figure out where.
A lot of points that the Klan have. I agree with.
Mhm. Like what?
You should mind your own business.
Yeah. Good. I got this. I got this bottle of Snapple that somebody brought to me from Kuwait.
That's Rush Limbaugh Snapple.
That's his?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's got a K on the bottom. Rush. Everybody gets it's made from the clan. But where's our products? We ain't got no products.
Well, that's the way that goes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to tell Jerome. You know,
but no, there are a lot of black products out there. You just don't know about them. A lot of them came out of hip hop artists. You know, I'd have to rearrange my brain cells and bring up names of them. But there's soft drinks, cookies. Some was given names that you know, people in the community could relate to out of Philadelphia. So there was quite a. I mean, it wasn't big, but there's a lot of. Oh, I was looking at some cereals on today on TV that some of these athletes are creating cereals after themselves. No, not Wheaties.
What's the best stock to go ahead and get involved in? You know, right now in this season, this time of the year.
None.
Huh? Don't buy nothing right now?
Oh, you should have bought Google a long time ago.
Yeah.
When it opened up, it's either $40 or $80 a share.
Where is it at now?
I don't know, probably around $800, I guess.
Ooh, wait. It's a nice summer change, huh?
Yeah.
I was looking at some stuff, some YouTube videos on how to go ahead and do that, on how to buy and sell. It was just some tips from some people, and it was real interesting. I like it, and I kept looking at it. I think that should be a constant class for some of us.
That's a long process to learn.
Don't tell me real long.
Yeah, you don't do it overnight. Best
the
way
keys,
to create is trade. Huh?
What are the key points to it?
Buy low and sell high.
Pretty obvious.
That's about as key as you can get.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Brother Jerome dropped off.
Yeah,
I was waiting for the rest of them to call back in, but they didn't call in, and I was waiting for somebody else. And they kept sending me these messages. And somebody was listening to Jerome, and somebody thought it was kind of rude with the sister. I thought she was going to call back because they kept wanting to go ahead and speak again. That's why I came on tonight.
Oh, the Hispanic girl?
Yeah.
Latino girl?
Yeah. Somebody else had called and sent me a message and was telling me, hey, was asking me was she a fugitive or something, or was she belong to some home or some asylum or something. But she's crazy.
Well, they're pretty deep with that down there. The Spanish.
Yeah.
Down the men.
Yeah, because I saw something a while back on Mexico. It was Mexico I saw this thing. They're saying I was like 92% Catholic.
Yeah, what the Spanish gave to them.
Rough with it. Even some of the cartels using some of the saints and things and stuff. They're working under some priests.
Spain and Portugal. I don't know how it was. You know, Haiti kicked Spain, but. The Haitians, the Maroons.
I'm working with a sister from Haiti, and she's trying to get down there and do something, but she says it's really, really difficult to try to go here and bring aid unless you're going through one of these organizations. They don't let independent people do it.
Who is they?
The Haitian government.
Well, what she need to do is kind of get a hold of some Haitian. You got Haitian organizations here. I know people that took things down there. We had there's a lady that used to come talk to us on LIV, Living in Black, from time to time.
Man.
Oh, that's not entirely true. We have a Haitian organization here, Harold Compere, and some others. So she's from Haiti herself, but she shouldn't have no problem.
She said last time she had some problems. They let her stuff sit for a while.
Well, you know, I don't know. I know of a lady that might know that worked with USAID, Regina.
Mm.
She was in Haiti when the earthquake occurred.
Almost lost
her life.
Man, because I went back and I was looking at some of them pictures, man, again the other night, man, and I was like, ooh, it was...
Well, ain't much change. There were lots of change, but not much. But this lady, she would be able to tell her a lot of things. But either that or a Haitian organization. You got Haitian organizations in your large cities.
I need to get with them and just see what's going on. Because I know in one specific area here in Chicago, it's a lot of Haitians, and they do little things. I used to love
those are the ones you need to talk to.
Yeah, because I know I'll ask her again, because I like to get involved in that. I think that's something we need to get involved with, but I know that might be some issues going down there, but I don't know. I want to go check it out.
Well, the best thing to do, well, I ain't going to say the best thing to do, but those are opportunities to go start things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because a lot of people don't get out of the country, so they need to go.
Yeah, Obama win next. If he's successful, then would be the time to try a lot of stuff, see where it goes.
You think he's going
to
win?
I don't know.
Why you say you don't know?
I'd rather see him president than Romney, but I'm still not entirely sure on him. The only thing that scares me about him is them foreign policies.
Oh. Which one specifically?
Over there where they at now.
Oh, in Afghanistan?
Yeah, in that area, I think they need to drop them Zionists.
Yeah, I think it is big. It's more than they can handle.
America ain't got no money for that stuff. America broke.
If they broke, how are they still paying out all this money and aid money and everything?
Well, it's phony money. But technically, the United States is broke. You imagine him starting another war. If he was to win, these people here would be riding in the street.
Just looking at that guy, what is his name, Adelson, the guy from the casino mogul from Las Vegas.
That one over there, yeah.
Yeah, he gave out $70 million already.
Well, yeah. Well, it's probably the money that filtered its way back from the aid that's sent over there.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. give aid to them, then that money filters back over here into the hands of lobbying groups that use to pay for congressional races, senator races, so on and so on and so on.
Every time I hear something, man,
they just say
it's one big old scam here. Big old scam.
All right,
Brother Bianchi, I'm
going to
go ahead and end it right now, man.
All right, well, I was hoping to hear some exciting.
No, they didn't want to come out. They said they wanted to, man, but, you know, then when I set it up, they didn't want to come on through, so I was leaving it open for them. So we're going to see what's happening, man. I'm trying to go ahead and get this, the broadcast this thing from a place here.
Maybe Jerome really wants to sleep tonight.
Say it again?
I say maybe Jerome wanted to sleep peaceful tonight.
Yeah, you gave him some things to talk and think about. Now, I think I'm gonna talk to him because I told him that the Puerto Rican lady she ran and I think Jerome ran too. So, but I'm gonna get with him, man. Okay, brother Pianca.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Peace.
Yeah, you know, Mary, these past couple of years I've been going through some changes, good and bad, but you know what? At the end of it, still all love, girl, yeah.